Never gets old. Get your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Daniel tonight. The book of Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. We'll share a thought with you that I have been blessed by. Just a phrase in my Bible reading and some of my morning devotions that I seen some time ago and have pondered it. And the more I pondered it, the more the Lord has given us direction on preaching this, and I trust that the Lord will let it be an encouragement to us this evening as the people of God. Daniel chapter number 11, if you're willing and able, if you would stand with us, and I'm going to read several verses tonight, beginning in verse number 30, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Notice this next phrase is where we want to derive our thought and preach from these verses. But, that word but is a word or an indication of a contrast. But the people that do know their God shall be strong, I like that, and do exploits. They that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping, that's an old King James word, hoping, amen. They shall be hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. I want to preach to you tonight the phrase found in the middle of verse number 32, the end phrase, but the people that do know their God. We're preaching tonight on the people that do know their God. I'm glad I'm in that crowd. Amen. And in these last days, you better make good and sure that you do know the Lord your God. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm grateful and thankful tonight to be in this place one more time. I do ask you, Lord, over the next few moments in our time together around the Word of God, that you would settle in among us and give us, Lord, every ray of spiritual light and every ounce of spiritual truth that, Lord, would be to the edification of our faith and our spiritual life. Lord, I stand tonight in this place to fulfill the call of God upon my life, knowing that in and of myself, Lord, I can do nothing. I need that unction and that help, that moving of the Holy Ghost within us and upon us, Lord, to communicate, Lord, what you've laid upon our heart. Lord, truth be told, these that are here to hear the Word of God tonight, they'll need your help as well this evening to receive the word that we preach, not as the word of a man, but as it is indeed the word of God. So, Lord, as the message goes out here and then across the internet and across the radio this evening, I pray that people would be stirred in their heart and challenged in their heart, and that, Lord, we, the people of God, would be encouraged, Lord, to keep on for you in these days we have left in this world. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This evening, I would begin by kind of without going all through chapter number 11 of Daniel's prophecy and message. I think I could simply say tonight the message of Daniel 11 is at present time both historical and prophetical in nature. These writings found in Daniel 11 in the text that we've read tonight, they had their partial fulfillment in the 2nd century B.C. as well again in the 1st century A.D. And we'll not go into all that history that could be unfolded there and the Babylonians and the Roman empires and the emperors that have done some things that Daniel writes about, even that we read about that abomination that making desolate, known in theological terms as the abomination of desolation that will take place, that has taken place and will take place again prophetically, and as it'll be completely fulfilled in future days by the man of sin, the Antichrist himself. We understand Daniel 11 will have its complete fulfillment in those times. And the king and the system that Daniel is writing about that seems to be prevailing to some degree. And yet when you come to the close of chapter number 11, that empire and that system of the Antichrist, he shall, here's how Daniel 11 ends, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. I'm glad tonight the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil himself, and all the world system that is trying to be tonight, there is coming a time it is all going to come to an end. There'll be no one in that day when the Lord comes back that shall be able to help them. Thank God Jesus Christ will stand in the end victorious and as a conqueror over all. I say even so, come Lord Jesus. I can't wait for that blessed day. Verses 30 through 35 that we've read tonight, they mark the days of the tribulation period. In fact, I believe in my study, and when you come to Daniel 11, chapter number 30, that begins the end days and those last days of the tribulation period. Of course, we understand the church will not be there. The church, that is, in this dispensation of time, the people of God, that we're going to be ushered out of here by way of what Paul said would be a catching away. The church will be caught up. Amen. We would call it in theological terms the rapture of the church. What a blessed day that's going to be. We're not, we, the church of God, we are awaiting the sound of the trump of God, upon which when it sounds, the dead in Christ are going to get up out of their earthly graves, and thank God they'll arise first, but then we which are alive and remain. Amen. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and Paul said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And that will draw to an end this dispensation of the grace of God, this dispensation that we would call the age of the church. Amen. And that will begin that time of tribulation. It's not my goal necessarily to go into all of that this evening, but I will say this about dispensations tonight. We believe in dispensation. We are dispensationalists. We're not hyper about it, and we're not ultra in our stand about it. But we do believe in dispensations of time of human history. That is, there are divine appointments of time that have been throughout human history in which God revealed himself and systems of religion for men to follow that they might worship God. And yet, every one of those dispensations of time, every one of them, in the end of every dispensation, there is a certain characteristic and a certain falling away and a certain mark of a worldly system that prevails in the end of every dispensation. The one that we're in tonight will be no different than those that have been and those that are to come, meaning the time of the dispensation, the tribulation period, and even the dispensation, the millennial reign of Christ. For 1,000 years, Jesus will rule and reign, and peace will be had. And you talk about 1,000 years of wonderment and amazement, and what a time that's going to be. But even at the end of those 1,000 years, the devil will be loose for a season, and he will deceive the nations. Many will be drawn away and follow him. And in rebellion, they'll make war with the Lamb and with the Lord that sits upon the throne and with his saints. And the Lord will have to deal with that in the end, even of that dispensation of time. And so I understand much of Daniel 11. We're dealing with prophecy and even future things concerning our dispensation of time, according to God's divine timetable, how he's unfolding everything. But I do believe tonight there are some things that we can learn and things that we can derive. We do it from the historical standpoint of taking things that have already happened, moving them forward into our day and making practical application. We also can reach forward and bring back prophetical events that will be made practical to you and I concerning how we're living in these days. Amen. The world and its system has never changed through any dispensation of time. Amen. And may I say, God has always had a people in every dispensation of time. Though the falling aways have been great, and though apostasy has been great, and though men in their rebellion have run far against God and run this world system, my friend, and gone far away from the Lord, there's always been a people who are the people of God who do know their God. Amen. Notice with me three characteristics quickly by way of introduction that will mark the system of that day and in many ways mark the system of our day. Amen. You say, preacher, what does the Antichrist system in time to come have to do with us today? I believe we can make connection with what John the Beloved said. He said there is an Antichrist that is to come. He said, but we do know that there are many Antichrists that are already at work. Amen. And so the spirit of the one that shall come has been working for 2,000 years. And I would argue he's been working since the beginning of time. Amen. And so what are characteristics here that we could see maybe even unfolding in our day? Notice with me, I see indignation found in verse number 30. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and returned, and have indignation against the holy covenant. Indignation is something that will mark the time of and mark the world system as it is in time to come and even in our hour tonight. This indignation found in this verse, it is directed toward the holy and is directed toward those that oppose the man of sin and the system that he has set up for men to follow. I want to say tonight, I believe we're already seeing the signs of that and the spirit of that even in the hour in which we live tonight. There is an indignation, there is an enragement and a hatred and a vitriol that is in the system of the world tonight. Why, they mask it with their message of tolerance, their messages of can we not all get along. Make no mistake about it tonight, they're not interested in tolerance. They're not interested in getting along. The world tonight is filled with indignation. We see it on every hand. We see it, my friend, arise on every hand. why they would gladly get along and be tolerant of sin. They would gladly get along and be tolerant of absolute evil and unrighteousness and perversion. And that's what they mean when they talk about tolerance. They have no tolerance for the holy. They have no tolerance for churches that have not compromised, that have not gone spineless and gutless in this day. There is an indignation tonight in the world and its system, and that indignation is directed toward those who are holy and that is holy, and anyone who would dare stand and oppose what direction that they're wanting to go in. Can I say tonight, I cannot compromise. However indignant the world would be tonight toward the church, however indignant they would be tonight toward the holy message of the Word of God, and we unapologetically stand and proclaim. I must stand and proclaim further. And the church and the people of God must arise and say, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways and the end thereof is destruction. And we cannot abort the message of the holy. And we cannot deter. We cannot compromise. We cannot sit down. We cannot tolerate, amen, anything that goes against the nature of God's holiness and God's holy book. And so this evening, understands you're living in a world that is full of hatred, in a world of even in religion, and people are trying to get along and get along to go along in the system that is. Understand tonight, amen, that Jesus promised the world was going to hate us. Amen. We've not been called to get along. Amen. The one who saved us. Amen. They want to say, well, Jesus, he loves everybody and he does love everybody. And they want to emphasize his compassion upon the multitudes. I say tonight, thank God for his compassion upon the multitudes. And his message to his church is, amen, you're not being called to get along. Don't think that the world will ever be able to get along with you. They hate you because the world hated me first. Amen. I'm going to get some good stuff. I got to take a ball back to a few things here tonight. Indignation. Indignation in this world that, my friend, this world, this religious world that we live in. Do you understand tonight there are circles of religion that are absolutely hateful toward our kind of a church? And that's fine. That's fine. I don't want to be identified with their rainbows and their coexist philosophies, no how. Amen, amen. And so even in the realms of religion, and by the way, the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist that exists today, and the system that is being developed even in our hour, amen, it's not only a social system, it's not only a political system. It is a religious system that is designed to, amen, have its way and to have a religious hobby and to have a form of religion. All the while, my friend, they are indignant against anything that is holy and anything that is right and anything that is righteous in nature. Anything that has been, my friend, of days gone by marked as right and wrong. They are indignant tonight toward anything that, amen, marks those lines and proclaims those lines. There is an indignation that marks the world in which we live. Not only indignation, I got to hurry on, but notice with me, abomination. Verse number 31 said, an arm shall stand on his part. That is the Antichrist, his system, his spirit.
in verse number 30, is moved with indignation and begins to express this vitriol against the holy and against those that honor God's holy word. And now he has individuals that join him, that stand with him in his part. And what are they standing there to do? The Bible said they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifices, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Can I say tonight, I believe that will happen in complete fulfillment in days to come. And then the Antichrist, though in his first appearance, he will set himself up as God, even in the temple of God. And he'll act like he's going to go along with that form of religion and sincerity. But when all is said and done, he will bring abomination into that place of worship. And not that it even is in existence or is a true way of worship and religion in this hour. But what it represents is the old economy. It represents the holy law of God. When he gets done, he's going to pollute the sanctuary. He'll bring things in God said don't belong there. And it's called the abomination of desolation. When we think about this in our day, I think about the things that are going on in churches across our land that, my friend, are nothing short of an abomination. And I could preach tonight and begin to call things out for hours on end. But it is sickening in this hour the pollution that can be found in the place that ought to be marked as a sanctuary. A place, my friend, that is a refuge for the soul. A place that, my friend, ought to be somewhere that if men can know God and men can come in contact with holiness and God's holy way, it ought to be the place that is known as the sanctuary. Pollution abounds. There is abominations that abound. They're marked by the forms of worship that have been brought in. The music that mimics the pollution of the world. Amen. That is nothing more than a bunch of worldly sounding music with religious lyrics. The downplay of modesty in the house of God anymore. The morality or immorality that abounds from the pulpit through the deacon boards into the choir lofts and the pews and the excuses that are made for sin on every hand is nothing more than the pollution of the sanctuary and that of true worship of God. Amen. Abomination. Something that marks this last days of the dispensation we're living in. Amen. What about this one? Not only indignation and abomination, verse 32. I use a word, I don't use this often, but I think it's a good word. I don't even know if my hillbilly tongue can pronounce it, but fraternization. Fraternization. You say, what is that? Look in verse number 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. In other words, there's going to be, let me use another word, you'll know this in a little bit better. There's going to be a collaboration of the wicked. A collaboration of the wicked. A fraternization that at men in their perversions, men in their wickedness, will begin to join forces, flattering each other, speaking well of each other in their sin. Amen. A coming together that they might stand against God and against holiness. I'll eat you dirty socks if that ain't going on in our day. The sodomites and the abortionists and the transgender movement is nothing more than a fraternization of the wicked, joining of forces of perverted men and evil men that do not know God and are hateful and indignant against the God of the Bible. You say, well, this is the 21st century. We have got to come out of the Stone Age. Amen. Well, if I'm in the Stone Age, leave me in the Stone Age. Amen. I'm telling you, I know God. I know what the Bible says. It doesn't matter how many men come together and my friend flatter one another in their sin and their evil and their wickedness. Amen. I'm telling you, it's still right to go with God. There are some things God is still marked. He has not changed. He has not changed His word. He has not changed His mind. Amen. There are still some things that are wrong in this iron day we're living in. You let all the abortionists come together. You let all the perverts come together. You let all the religious politicians who claim they know God justify all that sin for a silly little vote so they can stay in power. You let every one of them fraternize with one another and collaborate. And by the way, that is exactly what's going on in our day. All the actors in Hollywood. Amen. Some of y'all, you make heroes out of Hollywood people because they speak the name of Jesus. Why don't you open your silly little eyes? Same crowd speaks the name of Jesus. Links arms with transgender people. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Open your eyes, child of God. Understand the days we're living in, that there's going to be a collaboration of an evil crowd that will grow in number, and they're going to try to flatter one another and draw great crowds to themselves. They're not interested in the Lord. They're not interested in holiness. They're not interested in true worship of the ancient God. All of this is going on in our hour. Politicians, Hollywood crowd, actors, ball players. Amen. I'm telling you, on every hand we look around, if you got your eyes open, you understand these are days of indignation, days of abomination, days of fraternization. We're living in the last hours of the dispensation of the church. It looks like on every hand, the devil and his crowd, the spirit of Antichrist is on the grow. Looks like that there's more of them. It looks like they're victorious. Brother Mike, even in, as we talked about today, churches that have stood and have been marked by an old time way, yet have given themselves and have built their ministries on true worship and on the King James Bible, and upon a way in which God has blessed for so long that even they are turning by the dozens. By the dozens, they're turning, compromising with a system that is Antichrist. In the middle of all of this, it looks like the Antichrist is going to win. It looks like in our hour that the spirit of Antichrist is on the prowl and is the one that's in charge and is the one that is succeeding. But I'm thankful for the line found in verse number 32. But the people that do know their God. Amen. Though those days that are to come, even as our own, are marked by these traits, there is a crowd known as the people which do know their God. Amen. They are not of the system. They are not of that spirit. Amen. They stand in opposition to it. They will not go along with it. They will not bow to it. Amen. Be indignant all you want. Amen. Promote every abomination you want. Fraternize all you want and get all your crowd together. They may be the people that do know their God. They may be in the minority, but they understand that it will never be right to go along with the system. Amen. Do you know your God tonight? Why are so many compromised? Why are so many liberalized tonight in the way that they worship God? Submit to you tonight, there is a difference in professing salvation and being of the people that do know their God. I'm glad I know Him tonight, and I'm glad He knows me. Amen. Jesus praying to His Father in John 17:3 said, that they may know Thee. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God and His Son, whom Thou hast sent. Amen. There is something about people that have been saved, and there are people that do know their God. If you tell me you're saved, I'm going to expect that you know God. If you tell me you've been born again, I'm going to expect, amen, that you know your God. Amen, that is life eternal. It ain't being religious. It ain't having a spiritual hobby. It ain't making some profession of faith and declaring yourself to be all right. It ain't you and God having an understanding. Amen, friend, eternal life and true salvation is that I know the true and living God. The Bible said in Romans 1, of the culture that I believe that prevails in our day. And there was a time in which men knew God, and they did not glorify Him as God. Amen. And so there is the element, and only those who know God can claim to be the people of God. Only those that know God, my friend, are the ones that claim to be in the family of God. And in a world and people and perverts and abominable people, then, my friend, tell us what we have to believe as God's children. They try to speak for God, but when they open their mouth, it is obvious they do not know God. If you're going to tell me you're the people of God and that it's okay to go along with the transgender movement, I'm sorry. I have to come to the conclusion from the Word of God that you do not know the God you claim to know. Any politician that will approve of and promote and accept abortion, everybody look up here at any week. I thought the church stood and was pro-life and for, my friend, the unborn in the womb. We've got so callous and cold, we're happy with politicians that have put 6 and 15 week bans on them. We go, oh, we're doing so good. I'm telling you, the crowd we promote as though they are of God and that they know God when they stand up and they promote those things. I have to say, on the authority of the Word of God, they are not a people that know their God. Somebody say amen. Same-sex marriage junk. Amen. This crowd of immodesty. Amen. If you tell me you're saved and you know God, amen. I'm about to preach. I'm on the radio. Let me just get it on out. Amen. Something's happened this year. I was talking with the family the other day, and I didn't think it could get any worse than these women running around in their yoga britches. Everybody look up here. It'll be all right. I thought that was about as immodest as it come. They've gone to a whole new level this year. Everybody okay? I ain't trying to be vulgar, but we're living in a vulgar world, so I got to get people's attention. They wearing these butt crack britches now. Are you listening? Walking around, leaving nothing to the imagination. Oh, but I know God, I'm saved and everything. You don't know the God of this book. Amen. Amen. Hey, man, that's right. You sound like that kind of preaching. We like it or lump it. Hey, man, I'm telling you today. Hey, man, we got to get beyond just making statements. Hey, there ought to be a people that is in opposition to what is going on in this world system. Amen. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to take up a love offering for myself. Amen. No, for assurance is the people that do know their God are given. Being of that crowd is not easy. Ain't ever been easy. Noah was of that crowd just before the flood. Amen. Noah was of that crowd. Abraham was of that crowd when he was called out to follow God. Joseph was of that crowd when he was betrayed and sent by divine providence into Egypt and had to live for God in a wicked culture. He was of the crowd and can stand and proclaim through the annals of human history, and I'm of the people that do know their God. Men, time would not permit to preach of men like Daniel. And other men and heroes of the faith as are recorded in Hebrews 11. And I'm glad tonight, though it's not always easy, though it's not always convenient, though it's not always something that Brother Mike is just so pledged, such a pleasurable life, I still am glad tonight I'm the people that do know their God. There are assurances we are given. Amen, that have been given to all of those crowd, amen, that is the people that do know their God in every dispensation of time. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, the power of God shall be on them. Here is what blessed me some time ago. But the people that do know their God shall be strong. I want you to look up here tonight. It ain't the will of God that you live a weak life. Just cause you're a Christian doesn't mean, my friend, you live your life just, oh, I don't even know how I'm going to make it. I'm just doing the best I can. He said the people that do know their God shall be strong. Amen. If you know your God, your spiritual life ought to be marked by the strength and the power of Almighty God in your life. I know there's times of weakness. I know there are times of burden. I know there are times that we feel overwhelmed. And I believe that's why this statement is made, Brother Randall. And in those hours, in those seasons, of people that do know their God have an assurance that the power of God will be on their life. Amen. I get so sick of hearing God's people whine their way through their life. Amen. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, we'll compare things, and I've had days that'll be worse than your days. Somebody else has got it worse than you have it right now. Quit your whining and bellyaching and complaining. And on your weakest day, on your hardest day, understand that you know your God. And in that is a promise and assurance that the power of God shall be on you. Amen. This ain't a time to hide in a cave. This ain't a time to look for an island to escape the culture. Are y'all listening? It's a time for the children of God to arise by the power and the strength of Almighty God. Amen. We're not to be weak. We're not to hide out. We're not to hold the fort till the Lord comes. And we're to arise in strength. We're to arise and let the power of God sustain us. They're not strong because they're strong. They're strong because they know what Paul said in Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You ever get in that realm, you'll stop that business. I'm just doing the best I can. You'll come out, my friend, you'll come out courageous. You'll live life courageous. Nobody's ever, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but ain't nobody ever done anything great for God. Living a, I'm just doing the best I can mentality. The power of God shall be on them. Do you know anything about being strong? God's strength. What an assurance tonight. Let me say number two, the promotion of God shall be through them. I about had a spell in my office last week looking at this. The Bible said the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Exploits. Well, you'll read back, you'll find later on or earlier in chapter number 11, I believe it is earlier than where we are, it talked about this system, this Antichrist and his system. And they are doing exploits. Now we find that all the exploits that they have done, the people that do know their God have exploits of their own. You say, what does that mean? It means a heroic act. Hallelujah. A deed of renown. A great or noble achievement. It implies, listen now, it implies an advancing forward and a gaining of ground. Preacher, it don't look like we're gaining no ground. It is an assurance from our God that we know that if you know Him, however dark it gets, however much ground it looks like the devil and the world's crowd is gaining, and my friend, we can be promoted of God. His promotion can be through us. Amen. All ground may have been lost. Amen. Ground may have been taken. But the church can never give up her ground. And the church can never back out. We have the promise of the promotion of God. And as He works through us, we don't do heroic acts in and of ourselves. In and of ourselves, we want to go hide in the mountains. In and of ourselves, we want to lay down. In and of ourselves, we just want to kind of sit in the shadows. But my friend, our God and His promotion is to be through us. And if we know our God, we can arise and advance forward. We can gain spiritual ground. Amen. We can, my friend, be victorious. I believe that's the idea. And they'll do exploits. And in the middle of all that junk that's going to go on, there'll be a little ragtag band known as the people that do know their God that will be marked by victory in the warfare we're fighting. I believe there's probably no greater thing, no greater characteristic that should be portrayed in the culture in which we live tonight, amen, that in a world that is steeped in helplessness, and a world that is steeped in holiness, I know they're in sin, but have you heard them talk? Have you heard the songs they're singing lately? They're absolutely depressed out of their mind. They're absolutely empty. They're running to sin. They're running to this. They're collaborating and they're seeking. My friend, in the world system, all of this evil, and at the end of the day, they are empty. At the end of the night, and they pillow their head this evening, there'll be a void. There'll be a depression. There'll be a longing and a wondering. Is this all there is to life? What an opportunity in these dark days. Are the people that do know their God and do exploits for the Lord and allow the Lord to work through their life to the point that there's a crowd in the system that would say, I want what he has. Amen. Suicide is at an all-time high. Among our young people in our culture and in our nation, there is a hopelessness. So it's there because of sin. I know that. But is this not an opportune time for you and I to drive up and down the roads of our town with victory on our face? The joy of the Lord shining through our countenance. Brother Mark, the victory that we have in the Lord to shine through to a culture that when you see them walking up and down the aisles in the Walmart, if you look beyond the piercings and the tattoos, and I know we've got to stand against, amen, the immodesty and the things that are contrary to the book in this hour. But if you look beyond that and you see that they're hopeless and they're longing for something more and they don't even know where to find it, what an opportunity, what an opportunity that we have as the church and the people that claim to know our God to reflect the victory that he has given us. Amen. The providence of God shall be for them. Now the people that do know their God, they are not promised that they will never suffer. They're not promised that they will never fall. In fact, if you look at verse 33, I'm almost done. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall. How are they going to fall? By the sword and by the flame and by captivity and by spoil. Many days. The idea, I think, being reflected is persecution's going to come. That's what we've been promised, has it not? So I don't like that promise. I don't like it either. I like the I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee kind of promises. I like the promises, amen, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But do you understand there is a promise that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So you might as well accept it as a promise from God. We're going to fall. We're going to be burdened down. We're going to be mistreated, ill spoken of. We're going to have the indignation of the world brought against us. But though they are persecuted and fall, I love verse number 34. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. Glory to God. You know what I'm glad about tonight? You say, well, it's just a little help, but a little help from a great big God is a great big thing. Amen. Amen. I think about what Ezra prayed when he was praying. And the dedication thereof of the temple as they were rebuilding it. He said, you have left us a little reviving. Amen, a little space of grace he spake about. Amen, but that little became much when God was in it. That little meant a lot to them and was big in their heart when God brought it about through divine ways. And can I say in this hour and this day, amen, the providence of God shall be for them, that people that do know their God. If you know your God tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, when it seems like you've fallen and it seems like you've been pierced with the sword and you've been burned by the fire and you've been spoiled by the enemy and you've been enslaved to captivity of the system, I'm glad tonight there's a God in glory. Amen. Who is able to hope in His own. Amen. He's able to send aid. He's able to send assistance. He's able to show up. Amen. Some through the water, we sang it this morning, and some through the flood, some through the fire. And thank God all through the blood. And we've learned in recent weeks, the blood is our victory. The blood is our help. The blood says we're going to make it. Amen. Ain't you glad tonight? Amen. That our God is our help in the air in which we live. Preacher, how are you going to make it in this political season that is corrupt? How are we going to make it in all the pollution of the social system that prevails in our day? How are we going to make it even with a religious crowd hates our guts? I'm just drawing strength from the Lord. I'm getting help from the Lord. I'm glad there's help from our God. If you know your God, you can rest assured the providence of God shall be for you. Amen. That's good preaching. Last of all, and then I got a closing thought, I got to quit. The purity of God shall be in them. Now, y'all like that hoping and promotion and power, but this is part of it. We got to like this too. Notice what he said, and some of them of understanding shall fall. Why are they going to fall? By sword and flame and captivity and spoil. Why? What is this? What is this pain, that persecution that they endure? What is it for? World thinks it's to shut us down. The world would say if we could just make it harder on them today than it was yesterday, they'll sit down and shut up. But there is a divine intention in your pain. There is still a work of God to go on in our lives, no matter how bad it gets out there. Here's what Daniel wrote: to try them and to purge and to make them white. You know what Daniel said? He said all their troubles, all their heartaches, all the things that are vexing them, all the ways the system puts pressure on them, it's just God turning all of that around so that they can come out purged and purified and righteous and holy in the generation they're living in. Amen. I tell you what it makes me want to do when I see this crazy world going down the crazy path at their own. It just makes me want to live for God. Amen. I ain't looking for a place to drop the standard. I don't want to drop the flag. I don't want to fly under another banner. That ain't what I'm looking for. I desire is, Lord, in these days, try me and purge me, make me white. Amen. Purify my life. May your purity be in me. I believe that's right. In a church system of our day, religious system of our day, that wants to blend the world system with the religious system so that you can't tell the world from the church and the church from the world, this, my friend, is not the assurance that is given to the people that do know their God. Amen. All of these things are for what Daniel said is an appointed time. The indignation, the abomination, the fraternization, the ways that God has assured us that in these last dark, evil, wicked days, buddy, they're evil and they're wicked. They're days, maybe we feel so overwhelmed. What in the world can we do? How in the world can any of this be overturned and turned back? Well, I say we ought to do all we can. But understand this, the hour is coming, an appointed time and hour is at hand, where the people of God are going to be brought to what Daniel said in verse 35, even to the time of the end. There's coming a time it's all going to be over. Guess what? We won't be here anymore. We won't hear what we've heard. We won't see what we've seen. We won't be vexed how we've been vexed. Thank God we'll be set free from this dimension. Brought into the presence of the God we already know. Hey! And we won't even need an introduction. I already know Him, so I'll know Him when I see Him. He won't have to be introduced to me. Amen. Peter won't have to say, well, Lord, there's old Ledbetter. He already knows me. I already know Him. I can't wait to see the one that I know. What a day that's going to be. Hey, church. I said, preacher, you took a ball bat to some things tonight. Well, amen, we got to. Told Brother Bryson yesterday, I'm done preaching. Told Brother Bryson yesterday, you know, my ministry and the way I preach, I understand it won't cast a real large shadow, far as in my eyes or the eyes of men, won't ever cast a super large shadow over this nation. But I wanna have a voice in the corner, my little corner of the field. If it's on the internet or it's on the radio, and especially in this church, I'm going to raise the standard. Say, don't listen to all the noise. Don't think we can go along. Let's keep the standard raised. Let's keep in touch with our God. We know Him. We have understanding. We know His Word. We know His ways. Let's be that people in this culture. Not looking to hide, but to use this hour that God has left us on this earth to be a reflection of people that do know their God. Amen.